everyone, and welcome to this next episode of our Berlin Electrolyzer podcast. My name is Bernd Hammerer. You might know me from the former episodes, and also our chairman, Bruno Poli, who is also with us today. Hello, Bruno.
Hello.
And our guest today is Dave Hodson, managing director of TFB Hydrogen, a company specialized on advanced electrochemical materials that are absolutely crucial for the efficiency of electrolyzers and the growing hydrogen economy. But before we talk about electrolyzers and the technology, Dave, would you please introduce yourself and let us know how did you personally find your way into the hydrogen economy?
Thanks. And hello, everybody. That's a really interesting question because I started my life out in chloralkali technology, which, of course, half of which or a third of which is all about hydrogen. Although primarily I was working on electrocatalysis for the chlorine evolution reaction. But of course, we had various teams we're working with on the hydrogen side as well, and ultimately managed that team. But my background's in industry and applied electrochemistry. I worked in chloralkali. I've done some work in molten salt electrochemistry, dabbled around materials for fuel cells and water treatment, and now, as you say, find myself as managing director for TFB Hydrogen.
Wow, that sounds interesting. And what is the history of the company TFB Hydrogen? Can you let us know something about that?
Yeah, so it's a really, I think it's quite an interesting little story. TFB Hydrogen started life out in 2011 as PV3 Technologies, which is a company I started with three colleagues. We all put a little bit of money in and bootstrapped it, as the phrase goes, built it up year on year. And the concept we had right from the beginning was that we wanted materials and products that customers could buy. So they needed to provide the right kind of functionality at the right cost and the right lifetime. And so that's been our philosophy from the beginning. Never really imagined it would be anything other than a lifestyle business, but we're working on materials for hydrogen technologies very, very early in our evolution. And we grew steadily. And then in the middle of 2020, right in the middle of COVID times and the pandemic, we were approached with acquisition interest. So we furthered those conversations with TFP, with Technical Fibre Products, which itself is a subsidiary of the James Cropper PLC, which is a heritage paper company based in the northwest of England. And we closed the deal in January 21. So we were renamed as TFB Hydrogen. I think there's still some lab coats around with PV3 Technologies on, but we are definitely TFB Hydrogen, almost coming up to our second anniversary in January next year. And since that acquisition, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, obviously, coming out of COVID and lots of conversations around energy strategy around the world and the importance, increased importance of hydrogen as an energy vector have really meant, you know, it's been a really busy couple of years. So since the acquisition, we've more than doubled the production capacity in our UK facility in Cornwall, which is in the southwest of England. We're opening a facility to support North American customers in upstate New York. So there'll be a production coating facility there for our coating products. And we're in conversations with other people about how we might develop a kind of a diverse manufacturing strategy, which is based on a couple or a smaller number of global scale centers with satellites that could be co-located with customers to help shorten supply chains as this industry scales.
This sounds all very impressive. Thank you for that information. So, Bruno, would you like to ask some technical questions to Dave?
Yeah, thank you very much, Ben. Thank you very much, Dave. And nice to see you. And I mean, I've known you for many, many years now, and I'm so glad what you've done with TFT. I mean, I hear it everywhere I go, really. In your opinion, actually, Dave, what are the main technical bottlenecks for scaling up PEMWE technology and also the challenges for PEMWE systems manufacturers?
I mean, obviously, we're focused on the materials, and what we're trying to do is to provide materials that give, obviously, very low contact resistance, because all these components butt up against each other inside the stack, metal to metal contact, metal to a catalyst layer contact. So those interfaces are really important to manage and engineer to give the right energy efficiency performance within the cells and stacks as things go forward. So, you know, getting those low resistances, getting high durability, because in the PEM electrolyzer technology, there's obviously lots of titanium used, and titanium loves to oxidize and become insulating. So managing again that corrosion reaction is really important. But also it's a multifaceted problem, in that as stacks age, membranes degrade, impurities enter the water feed, as you know, we run for thousands and thousands of hours, there's a lot of hydrogen around, and cell separators have to be able to manage that hydrogen environment as well as the oxygen environment on the other side of it. So, and that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to provide solutions to those problems. Some of the challenges in terms of scale up are quite interesting, because we currently, our model largely is based on being supplied with free issue substrate materials, whether they be a separator or a PTL that's uncoated. We then apply a coating and we ship it back to the customer. So we have to have 100% yield. You know, 100% yield is the absolute minimum for us. It's obviously a maximum, can't have more than 100%. But if customers trust us with 20,000 components, then we want to send 20,000 back to them. And these are often extremely fragile. But then there's just the whole kind of standard logistics and supply chain aspects, and moving metal around over large distances doesn't make a huge amount of sense. So that's why we're having a number of larger facilities, but then potential for these satellite operations, so we can support those customers as they try and shorten their supply chains and obviously impact the amount of transport that's involved in the manufacturing stage. On the deployment side, I still think we're looking for final support. You know, there's a lot of good stuff going on around the policy level. The Inflation Reduction Act is really working in the US, seen similar things in the EU as well, to give customers, ultimate customers, confidence to put hydrogen generation projects into play to spend the capital. So I think we're seeing that there. And I think that some of the challenge is, how do we match supply with demand? Because demand is extremely high at the moment, as we just say. You just have to read almost any document around the hydrogen system, and you know, the forecasts are impressive.
Thank you very much, Dave. And obviously, yes, as you said, that coatings, electrodes, catalysts are important components of any PEM water electrolyzers. So what is your USP really in that sector?
So we our primary focus in the PEM electrolyzer area is on the coatings onto the titanium components. We do have some interesting catalyst materials that are probably earlier commercial stage. There are high technology TRL, but earlier commercial. So our iridium oxide is around capabilities around 1 kilo per week at the moment, and we're looking to scale that. The coatings, in terms of what makes our product interesting, is that we've developed this product specifically for this application. So the formulation of the coating itself, the way we lay it down, and the production process has all been designed in-house. So all the production equipment is optimized around achieving those three things. How do we make sure these coatings provide the function that they need? How do we make sure that we get the cost base and price right? And how do we make sure that we have the right longevity? So we can scale really quickly. We have a manufacturing model which potentially could put 1 gigawatt per year of manufacturing capacity on the ground within 6 months. We have we're not relying on things like vacuum chambers or plasma systems for deposition. So we can, you know, the equipment can be readily accessed, because we've really thought about what the coating needs to be and what the deposition process need to be for this application. And on our catalyst side, particularly iridium oxide, I think it's been demonstrated our iridium oxide is amongst best in class. We ensure there's no stray iridium metal floating around in there that could cause all sorts of corrosion problems with this, and that's guaranteed through the synthesis that we adopt. And then it becomes, you know, what's different about us is just the way that we can support customers. We like to think, and we like to believe, and we try to achieve this, that we're extremely customer focused. We love to collaborate, and we love to do, you know, to work in that way, so that we can scale together and solve problems together. We want to be in this on a strategic level, not just for that one or two first orders. We want to be there for the long haul.
This is excellent, Dave. It's great. In your opinion, what would be the most promising potential for further efficiency improvements of the technology? I mean, everyone is talking about efficiencies, yeah? It's like it has become quite a well-known word in the area. So what are your views on this?
Well, what we see, of course, is, and again, most of this is in the public domain, we see companies trying to increase operating current density so that the capital cost can come down, which is obviously critical. And that's, if you can make that work, it's kind of a slam dunk. You've still got to achieve the tens of thousands of hours of lifetime, of course. But we're also seeing higher pressures. We're seeing thinner membranes to achieve efficiency as well. You know, there's a lot of work going on around catalysis, but, you know, everybody who's been around electrochemistry for a while realizes that oxygen evolution just has a high oil potential associated with
yes.
it. It's not easy to fix that problem. So,
indeed,
you know, it's really there. It's going to be, I think, more about how do we achieve the same performance at lower loadings rather than maybe shifting that many millivolts off that over potential. But all these bring problems and opportunities with them as well, of course. So thinner membranes, what does and higher current densities, what does that mean for hydrogen crossover? And are new materials required to help deal with that as well? And so
yes.
again, on our we have an innovation roadmap, and we consider these technology changes that are coming in the next few years. And we have an active team working on coming up with some new solutions, new interesting materials that we think could play a role as the technology goes up into these different areas of high current density, high pressure, thinner membranes.
Excellent. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And last question for me. I mean, you've been in the game for many years, and but now, do you think that PEMWE will become the gold standard, you know, electrolyzer among the many other electrolyzer technologies, or do you see the market developing in the coming years? You know, if you had, you know, the crystal ball here in front of you, what would you say?
If I really knew, Bruno, I'd keep it to myself and play some bets.
Yes, that's right. I'm sure you would. Yes.
But my opinion, I think the next few years, it's going to be, you know, there are a limited number of technologies. We've got alkaline and PEM as probably the more mature, solid oxide and AEM really coming, you know, up on the inside as really interesting mm-hmm. technologies as well. And then we even see some sort of unique things. Some different ways of making hydrogen electrochemically and non-electrochemically. I think for the next few years, it's going to be a mix and a portfolio of solutions. I don't think it's going to condense around one solution.
Yes.
Ultimately, it's about the technology has to do what customers need it to do. It has to be reliable. It has to be robust. It's got to have long-term stable efficiency, and it's got to be available to be able to make some money, and therefore the capital and operating costs of those technologies need to match what the hydrogen commercial requirements are going to be. I mean, clearly alkaline's got a really fantastic opportunity, and we see lots of companies doing some pretty big projects or announcing some pretty big projects with alkaline. Again, thinking about some of my history, some companies kind of taking the chloralkali technology concept and kind of flipping it around a little bit, and you have a very manufacturable alkaline electrolyzer that can be deployed at quite significant scale. And then other companies looking at some new ways of delivering that alkaline technology as well. But I think, you know, for me, I think for certainly as far as ahead as I can see, probably to say the rest of this decade, a mix of technologies will definitely be the answer. We might see some shuffle by the wayside in the coming years, but the expansion of demand at the moment, there's a danger that we could be in a position where demand could outstrip supply. But equally, you know, so how do we make sure that we all invest at the right time so we can take these opportunities? And I think that's a really big question. You know,
indeed.
We want to be ahead of that curve, but obviously all these commercial decisions for investment come with some risk.
Thank you so much, Dave. That's great. Thank you very much. Leave it to you now, Bernd.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dave. That was a very interesting insight that you gave us, and we look forward very much to meet you on the conference in Berlin, December 7-8. And thank you very, very much for your things that you have told us here, and also for supporting this event as a sponsor. I have to say this also here. Very, very cool. We are absolutely thankful for that, for supporting us here, and we look forward to meet you in Berlin. And this goes also now for all our listeners out there. So if you have not yet registered for the conference, please do. And join us in Berlin, December 7-8. It's only less than 2 weeks to go, and we're going to have a great event there, I can assure you. And yeah, see you all in Berlin then. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.